Can I rant for a sec?
Please.
Pay apps are way too public.
What happened?
Some rando hearted a payment from 5 months ago, and I realized people can see my entire history, who I'm paying, like full names. It's super weird.
Yeah, it's weird. How are you paying your friends then?
Apple Cash. It's all in messages. You can literally send cash like a text, and it stays between friends. Random people can't see it.
Did you just pay me a dollar on Apple Cash?
Shh.
Services are provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association member, FDIC. Tennessee just sounds perfect. Whether that's live music, the crack of a campfire, or kids laughing on an adventure.
To start planning your trip, visit tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
Welcome to Stuff Mom Never Told You from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm Kristen.
And I'm Caroline.
And listeners, we have a hilarious interview for you today because we're talking to some improvisers slash comedians slash podcast hosts, Aaron Gibson and Brian Safi.
So Brian and Aaron both come from that great improvisation background. They are comedy veterans who moved to current TV, which, Kristen, that's where you first saw Aaron, right?
Yeah. So Aaron Gibson hosted a segment on the current TV show Infomania called Modern Lady. And I saw it before Stuff Mom Never Told You really got started. And she was doing exactly the kind of stuff, only a lot funnier, that we do now on the podcast, taking these closer examinations of how media represent and sell to women. Mm-hmm. And at the time, she was, like you said, working with Brian Safi, who was another host on Infomania, who did a segment called That's Gay. And they took those, a lot of what they were doing in those two segments, talking about women and LGBTQ representation, and now transitioned it into this hilarious podcast, Throwing Shade. And you can also hear a lot of their UCB improv background coming through on the podcast as well, because they just have that quick improvisational and comedic rapport.
Yeah, I loved hearing them talk about using their comedy, not only their comedic background, but their comedy skills to talk about more serious issues out there in the news.
And speaking of serious issues, Caroline, we should probably give listeners a rundown of how Throwing Shade works so that they'll understand why we ask Brian and Aaron at one point in our interview how they pick out their shoes.
Yeah, we don't mean their footwear, although I am curious.
Yeah.
I wish we had asked them about their footwear now.
So each week on Throwing Shade, they talk about two issues, which they shorten to shoes because that just makes things more fun.
Sure.
And Aaron picks a shoe focused on women. Brian picks a shoe focused on LGBTQ stuff. And they talk about it. Mm-hmm. And they throw lots of shade sometimes. And they improvise and they make hilarious jokes. And it's fantastic and really fun to hear similar kinds of things that we talk about on the podcast, but presented in a bawdier kind of way.
Well, Kristen, now that we've teased everyone with bawdy conversation.
Ooh, a bawdy tease.
Well, let's just let the interview roll.
Yeah. Well, Brian and Aaron, for listeners who haven't heard Throwing Shade, how would you two describe it?
A descent into madness.
But CNN on meth?
Yeah. Truly what we do is we each take a look. Aaron takes a look at issues affecting women. I take a look at issues affecting gay people. And we just treat those issues with very little respect, go off into tangents about them, turn them into ridiculous characters, and sort of make fun of the people who are causing problems in this country.
perfect. Well, so how would you guys describe each other, though?
Brian's
white.
Yes.
How we describe, I feel like we do, I think we do a thing on the show where we take turns being straight man's dumb person. Mm-hmm. And we kind of like balance that pretty flawed and flawlessly. Mm-hmm. Like we both like being the straight man. And we both like being the clown. So I feel like we've traded off that pretty well. Brian's way more silly. You're sillier. Like nonsense.
Love nonsense.
You're more confident with nonsense.
Thank you.
I like being dirty.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think I don't know what I think Aaron does so well is going from making a really super smart point and then making a dumb one seamlessly. And can flip from one to the next without hesitation. And
with the same level of confidence.
I think so, yeah. I think what's interesting about our relationship is that there's not, like Aaron said, there's not really a straight man in this dynamic. We both love being silly and we both love being serious.
And wrong for the reasons of just being funny.
Yes.
You know,
we love defending idiots.
When we started this show, we started it out of just we had done another show where we did similar pieces, but it was on a television network, so we didn't have a lot of freedom. But one of the reasons that we really wanted to start the show is so we could do exactly what we want on the show. And I think what we want and what we like is very similar. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of one thing that I think makes our show, that's why we're basically always on the same page.
Well, that's really interesting. I was watching some Current TV, which is the network you were talking about, where you did the segments. Brian, you hosted That's Gay, and Aaron, you hosted Modern Lady. And could you talk a little bit then about, just for listeners who might not be aware of kind of the format of those and how podcasting has maybe allowed you to take that even farther?
Yeah, so for me, for That's Gay, it was really just scouring every news station, everything that talked about. But That's Gay essentially looked at how gay people and gayness in general was perceived by the often clueless media. So we would find a ton of clips to support our arguments. Like if I was talking about how gay characters in commercials are sometimes very hidden, or if I was talking about how the gay best friend has sort of become this weird, horrible archetype in television and in movies, we would have to find all the clips to support those arguments. So it was a pretty exhaustive research-wise. And then the points we would make, because we each just had segments that they would break out online, were about 3 minutes each. So we got to make a point, but we had to do it very, very quickly and very, very succinctly. And there really wasn't any time to sort of go off into our own senses of humor and really, like, I don't know, sort of go into the silly territory and really say everything we wanted to say. It sort of had to be packaged very succinctly and very nicely. I enjoyed that a lot.
And backed up by almost like an academic filter, hence all the research. Like, here's my opinion, but I also have to back it up with all these facts.
Right. Like, I can say gay people are often used as just these magical best friends on television shows, but then I have to find 10 examples of it from television shows to prove that point. So it was very exhaustive, but it was also, I mean, it was a cool thing, but this is just so much better to take a story, really think about your opinion on it, and then just go like full throttle, you know, pedal to the metal on exactly what you think of it, and get filthy with it, get crazy with it, and just exhaust every other part of it.
We don't have a boss and we don't have a network. We have no one telling us what we can't do. Really, the only checks and balances we have are people tweeting at us going, I didn't like that you said the word panty pudding this week. And then we can go, okay, we're probably going to say that again, but thanks for letting us know.
Once told us our podcast wasn't vegan friendly enough.
Is it because of the Sunday chickens?
Yes.
Oh, it might be. It might be.
And the yogurt.
You know, a lot of people don't know this, but our show, Infomania, not Nymphomania, which is what my aunt thinks it's called or was called, which was on Current TV, was started by Madeline Smithberg, who also started The Daily Show. So we had a lot of what we did had roots in how The Daily Show also researches their stuff. If you notice, like when Jon Stewart like makes his point, there's a lot of media footage that backs it up. And so we were kind of doing that in a very distilled way through the scope of women's issues and gay issues. And I always felt a little bit shackled by that because I didn't love the idea that we had to. I like having the knowledge and having the stuff to back it up, but I don't necessarily like being like, well, it's not your opinion unless it's happening 17 times. Cause there's not always, sometimes you have like your witch gut that you have to trust. Like, oh, I think this is a problem. Like, for example, I did a whole segment on how every single woman on detective shows on TV have been either a victim of rape or a child of rape. Mm-hmm. And, But there's not a lot of female detectives on TV, and most of them were either like had some like sexual
trauma
in their past. But I mean, is it like an epidemic that's facing women, like affecting women's lives? No, but I think it's an important thing to talk about. So we have that freedom on Throwing Shade to like be like, hey, maybe this one thing happened and we can discuss it without it being like a trend piece or.
Right. Or it felt like writing a term paper every week.
Yeah.
Well, it did seem, I mean, not that it was that long ago, but it did seem like those segments too, even though there was the term paper aspect, were still kind of ahead of its time in terms of anticipating the kind of feminist and LGBTQ pop cultural analysis that now runs the internet.
I have to say, like, regarding that show, I think that show specifically was the best show on Current TV and was way ahead of its time. And I feel like it's a real shame that it never truly found its audience because I think now it could have cracked it. And like you said, it only ended 3.5 years ago. But all the progress that's happened since 2010 or 2011, whatever it was, and now is like,
it feels like 20 years have passed.
Like people are just now catching on to the fact this season that Amy Schumer might be a little political and we're finally ready for that, you know, and it's a very different world than it was even a couple of years ago.
This episode is brought to you by Snagajob. Snagajob is where America goes to hire with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring.
With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time, or full-time.
You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer? Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that.
With their easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way.
Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly.
Visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242-424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Can I rant for a sec?
Please.
Pay apps are way too public.
What happened?
Some rando hearted a payment from 5 months ago, and I realized people can see my entire history, who I'm paying, like full names. It's super weird.
Yeah, it's weird. How are you paying your friends then?
Apple Cash. It's all in messages. You can literally send cash like a text, and it stays between friends. Random people can't see it.
Did you just pay me a dollar on Apple Cash?
Shh.
Services are provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands. Not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank. Brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly boring since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association, member FDIC.
Well, so in terms of talking about these issues and using them to look at pop culture, did your interest in that start with that show that you guys did, or which came first?
I think for me, just speaking for me, I was a writer on Infomania before that segment launched. I was writing for the host, Connor Knighton. And I think I just was watching television. And I think because of that show, I watched television and saw, like, I keep bringing up the thing about the gay best friend because that was my first piece, or about No Homo, which was another piece I did, because of that show that I started really noticing patterns and became very aware. But I think before I got that job, I was also very, my political fire got started with the Prop 8 campaign here in California. And that's, I think, when I really discovered how politically aware I was. And I think that happened around the same time as Infomania. And I think I just felt supercharged after that to get into it. I don't know about you, though.
Oh, I have a very opposite trajectory. I was like a militant feminist in the wrong way in like the early 2000s. My friend gave me a copy of Susan Faludi's Backlash, and I would read it and get really mad, but I kind of used it as a tool to read on the elliptical machine at the gym when I lived in Houston so that guys wouldn't talk to me. And so I kind of had this, like, I kind of was wearing feminism like an accessory and not really fully, like, adopting the everything that it means. So when I started at Infomania, I was taking over for Sarah Haskins, who was doing an amazing job doing Target Women. And I really had no idea what I was doing. And on top of that, I was still in that camp of women that's like, yeah, sure, I'm a liberal. Yeah, sure, I'm a feminist. But maybe you shouldn't be dressed like that at night. And maybe you shouldn't be putting yourself in dangerous situations. And I think I wasn't all the way 100% aware of what it meant to be like a supportive feminist, politically active and empathetic woman. And looking at the patterns and everything I saw on TV, it kind of opened my eyes to all this, you know, the reality of the fact. And I think it actually helped me to become like a way better person.
And I will also
way
say,
cooler person.
I will also say that, like, we both trained and come from the Upright Citizens Brigade Theater. So I think first our whole thing has always been the comedy of it, and then just our separate trajectories of how we also became political.
Yeah. And I think that's also something that, like, specifically the comedy thing, like, I started doing comedy the minute I left Texas. I was part of Second City in Chicago, and then I moved to LA and started doing UCB. I was adamant about being one of the guys, and that kind of clouded my vision a little bit on what it meant to support other women, because comedy is so male and so you know, aggro a little bit. You kind of, as a woman, I don't think it's that I don't think it's true now, and we don't need to get in a long discussion about it, but you definitely, like, you're like, I'm not gonna wear a dress on stage, I'm gonna wear a t-shirt, I'm gonna wear sneakers, I'm gonna fit in as much as possible, because I don't want to stick out as, like, necessarily quote unquote a woman or someone with strong views about what it is to be a woman. So I think Infomania really gave me permission to do comedy and be a strong feminist at the same time.
Well, along those same lines, I am curious to know whether also being in the comedy world directly shaped any of your political, social activism and views, rather than them kind of sort of being in separate spheres and then just kind of coming together. If comedy itself and being in that environment that maybe in the past, but not as much anymore, was very white, straight bro. Had any impact?
Yeah, I knew, I think, when I was going through UCB and started getting really active, I think I knew three other gay people in the whole program. And it really was through that. I think it was like, there was a show called $3 Bill at UCB that was at like midnight on like Saturday or maybe Sunday night. That would be sort of the gay comedy show. And I remember getting involved in that. And that's how I met all of my friends there. And people were doing political stuff. Like, you know, like James Adomian or, you know, Drew Drogi, those kinds of people. And, that's how I became, like, really involved in that. And I think inherently, for, at least for me, one went with the other. If you were a gay person in comedy, there was something very already political about that.
I think that's, it's so interesting to like think about how women and women in comedy versus being like having your gender, I mean, your sexuality kind of out in the open changes your experience in that. Cause I feel like I don't even remember being like it even being a thing of like, oh, we should start an all female thing. Mm-hmm. You know, I think the girls, and I'm speaking for myself, were so afraid of doing something like that. to make it seem like, I don't know. I just feel like it didn't happen. There was one female sketch team that happened. Remember that team for a little bit? But
yes.
Then they got disbanded. I don't know. It's such a different thing. I think all of the comedy theaters in general are just way less like that now.
Yeah. I would say, like, at least going to UCB and the Groundlings, it's a much more exciting atmosphere than it used to be, and certainly more diverse.
And way bigger. Yeah, that's true.
Well, what would you think would account for that? Just more attention to diversity, or?
Yeah, I think there is way more attention to diversity. I feel like it's only been in the last maybe 2 to 3 years that the general population has finally decided that women are funny. Maybe less. I don't know. I feel like it's been very, very recent. And it feels, it's so funny when people say that it's happening so fast, because it does feel like it's happening so fast, but it didn't.
Yeah.
It's taken a long time, but people are finally emerging. When you see shows like Amy Schumer and Broad City on a network like Comedy Central, that would be unthinkable a few years ago.
That wouldn't happen.
And so I really think it's just, you know, I think so many things are.
I think there's a lot of guys too who are working behind the scenes, like Paul Feig, who's like, I want to put women front and center.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that they're funny. I think they can carry an all-female Ghostbusters. I mean, do you know how many, like, of the Venn diagram of everything that I would like to happen in my life, how many that just a female Ghostbusters hits? Like, and I think that it's just about having, like, for the LGBT community and ladies on the inside of Hollywood, like, we need allies. We need people who are, unfortunately, straight white men who are going to be like, no, it's wrong that we have a f-ing cartoonish guy with a boa coming in the room and being like, I'm here, you know, like, to eradicate that stuff. And then we'll finally, like Amy Schumer and other people have done, they take control of it themselves. But
well, so at what point did you guys decide to shift to podcasting? Why do a podcast after your comedy?
Because it was just the one thing, I think, that was completely unfiltered, that we got to write our own rules. There was certainly no world in which, you know, a woman and a gay man were gonna make any waves on a television show at that point.
No.
I mean, it was kind of current, and that was, or a web series, I guess we could have done. But this was just so, I don't know, the podcasting
it's
thing
easy.
Was so natural for us, so easy. We both love talking nonstop. We both think the other is hilarious, and you know, we're sort of like, let's do this.
We both like one-upping each other's jokes. I mean, we really do. I mean, Brian and I'll speak for both of us, we love improv. I mean, we were, you know, definitely facets at UCB in many different ways, and this is a performance for an audience of each other.
Yeah.
And
if nothing else, it keeps us fresh every week.
Oh my God.
So.
Yeah.
So how do you pick your shoes? Because it's got to be hard sometimes to just pick one. There's so many possible shoes. How do you pick them?
For me, I pick the one that I think will be the funniest. Because it is first and foremost a comedy podcast, I try not to pick something that I don't think that won't be funny at all, that I can't wrap my brain around. Well, how am I going to make this awful story about some horrible hate crime funny? And so, yeah, we do go through a few, and it, you know, a lot of them are very depressing, but at the end of the day, I really just want to find someone who's doing something horrible and really tear them apart.
That's really the fun.
And make it more fun.
Especially if someone has said something really dumb that we can really get. Like, I remember our most recent one was, there's this woman who runs Go Ape Marketing in Dallas, and she wrote this kind of anti-woman Facebook rant about why Hillary can't be president. And one of the phrases she used was, let the haters begin, before she started her rant. And I was like, I love this phrase so much. And I just picked it because I was like, this is the dumbest thing anyone could have said.
Let the haters begin. It was like full blown my mom thinking that she got it right.
Yeah. And this woman has the nerve to have pictures of herself in sandals and shorts on her business website. I mean, she's really doing it all, mom. You know, there's so many, the problem and the gift is that there are so many awful things happening to both of our groups, and, you know, the overlap of that. There are stuff that, like, I never talked about, the woman from, Columbia, who did the Carry That Weight performance, not a performance piece, but she carried the mattress that she was sexually assaulted on around campus for many, many months to graduation. All, you know, it's that, like Brian's saying, it's really hard for me to make that funny because it's really serious and a real problem. So it's really a fine line of like, we do like taking the piss out of serious stuff, but there's also a thing of like, we also don't want to be disrespectful to people who've gone through some terrible shit.
Do you ever hear from listeners who are offended at how you present or talk about a shoe?
Yeah.
It doesn't happen that often, but it does.
Yeah, I would say like maybe once a month we'd probably get something like, oh, I wish you wouldn't have said this about such and such person. And the thing is like, I think there's only been a couple times where I even felt that person was even right. I mean, I don't think that we have ever tried to intentionally hurt the wrong person or group. But yes, we do. There are people who are very, I'm sure you guys do too. Don't you constantly get criticisms?
Oh, yeah. People love it. Oh, yeah. Especially with critiquing language and things like that.
Oh, let me tell you something. I get mansplained every single thing I say wrong, either if it's on purpose I've said it wrong or on accident. So Brian actually corrected me on the podcast this week that T-Boz is alive and it was Left Eye who died, and corrected me on the podcast, and someone tweeted at me, T-Boz is still alive. And I was like, what are you doing with your time?
If you had waited one more second.
Also, if I cared about which member of TLC was alive or dead, I wouldn't be able to dedicate my time to someone I actually care about.
Well, it's just the difference between someone who, for instance, as I was listening to that episode, I thought, oh no, she's talking about Left Eye, but I would never tweet you that. You know, it's-
oh, we get full on letters. By the way, me more than Brian, I've talked about on the podcast. It's just, it's a hard line to do because we are very political. So we do capture like a very left-leaning liberal America. And sometimes, sorry to say, a small percentage of those people don't have a sense of humor.
Oh, I fully agree. I think watchdogs in any party are the worst. And whether it's, you know, a gay watchdog or a female watchdog or a straight white male dude watchdog, they're the worst, but they love it.
Sometimes I think, like when I get a corrective email or something, I think Dick Cheney would have thought this was funny. Like, you're correcting me, but I bet Dick Cheney would laugh. Yeah. Like the opposite worst person on the other side.
Someone actually tweeted me yesterday to inform me that in our most recent podcast, when I had meant to say the show Laguna Beach, I said the OC instead.
Very like, important.
Thank you. Thank you for that.
What that person is essentially doing is going home, flipping open their laptop, connecting to Wi-Fi, logging in, and sending you that email. It's insane.
Yeah, we did get a letter that was pretty crazy not too long ago that it was incredibly long and it was berating us for something. And I thought, well, certainly this person just got so mad that they had to go home and bang out this email and just send it. Except that the email had a PS, and the PS said, after reviewing my email several times, I still stand by everything I said. And so, God, you have to really care that we are so wrong. You have to care.
I have to be honest with you. I respect the crap out of that person. And I don't know what they said, but I'm going to go ahead and side with them on this one.
For at least proofreading it.
And exactly. Considering
they stuck with their convictions.
You know what, y'all? Honestly, these are good problems to have, because if people weren't emotional and weren't invested, they wouldn't do this stuff. And that just means that we're reaching people, even if it's about whatever someone had the guts to PS you and double down on.
I do just love, I totally agree with you. God bless them all. I do just love someone listening to throwing shade or to your podcast and being indignified.
Oh, yeah.
It's like.
But the grammar was impeccable. I mean, I can give him that.
I'll appreciate that.
Yeah.
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 Well, so you guys have such a wonderful rapport, such a great rhythm. Are feminasties and homosensuals natural allies, or do you guys just have something magical?
Well, here's what Aaron and I have talked about. I think that underneath it all, the homophobia and sexism and is really all just misogyny. It's people being afraid of something feminine or something that they consider female. I think that a lot of people who hate gay people do it because they think there's something, I don't know, womanly about it.
Yeah.
And so I think they are natural allies. I think they also should be natural allies.
Yeah.
And however, I do like to also think that Aaron and I do have a very specific special bond that, you know, that really I don't think can be messed with.
But honestly, for two people who into the same kind of people, we really never talk about, have we ever talked about sex once? I mean, honestly, truthfully.
No, not yeah. like real, not in real words.
No.
Not like.
Not like how I do with like my friend Allison.
No, not how I do with my mom. No. Just kidding. I don't talk to my mom about my sex life. No, I think so. Yeah, I do think that we have a very sort of specific, exciting bond in that, you know, I don't know. It almost feels like a sibling. You know, like
I feel like
we have that kind of thing together where we love to rib each other. We love to get the best of each other and we love to see the best of each other.
I think our parents are also very similar in like maybe not identical, but just we were both raised in the South. We both were raised in like maybe not conservative households, but like conservative environments.
Yes.
There are things expected of us in a Southern way that we kind of fought against. So there's a lot of, there's just a lot of that kind of upbringing mm-hmm. that we share.
Gives a similar perspective.
Nobody loves queso like we do.
That's true.
So Throwing Shade is ultimately a comedy podcast, obviously, but you still tackle these serious issues and things that, you know, aren't so comfortable to talk about all the time. So what's your take on how humor can sometimes address those kinds of things like homophobia, misogyny, inequality, etc., more effectively than the more academic think piece, newsy style?
I just think it's easier to listen to. I think you're much more willing to open your mind if you're actually listening. I'm not saying all think pieces are bad, certainly not, but I don't know. After a few paragraphs of one, sometimes you feel like you're getting yelled at. Sometimes you feel like you're getting guilted into something.
Also,
those are nice things to feel. And I think, I don't know, I feel like if you're laughing, you are also inherently listening.
And comedy is by nature inclusive. Like you need the approval of an audience so everyone's having a good time. And I don't think pieces necessarily have to take that into consideration or
right.
some talking head on a news program. They don't give a poop if you're like engaged, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're just, a lot of people are just there to talk and we certainly are, but we also 100% care about if people are having a good time.
Right. Like I feel like I've never read a think piece that's like, I'm just like you. Like I've never heard one start like that. And I think comedy is such an underdog thing that I think, you know, it's easier to absorb that kind of thing than have a bullhorn.
That being said, I do think there are sometimes comedians who do try to use comedy, but they still are a little bit, there is this weird sub niche, if that's even a word, of like political comedians who like talking over people's heads,
mm-hmm.
who like being the smartest person in the room. And I think what works about Brian and I's podcast, specifically in the political realm, is that we will talk under you.
Yeah. We're really working with the lowest common denominator, but about things that are pretty heady. So.
Are you serious?
Oh, maybe that's why it's so appealing to me. well, so the actual phrase throwing shade has been having quite a pop cultural moment. It seems like just about, even my mother, I feel like, is using the term throwing shade. Have people ever taken issue with your use of it?
Yeah, I think, I mean, it's happened, I think, a couple times. If you mean just like misappropriation and
yeah.
Well, should we tell people what the term
comes from? The first time we heard it was from that documentary, Paris is Burning.
Yes.
Do you know that?
Yeah, oh, yes.
Okay. So, yeah, so that was the first, and I think that was sort of the intro of it to the world was, you know, because I remember the big title card in that movie that says shade, and then Dorian Corey explaining what that means. And so I think we just took it from that and being obviously huge lovers of
that movie,
all things queer, and especially that movie, and so that's where we took it from. I don't think, though, I think we're actually using it pretty literally. So I think people who take an issue with it have never listened to the show, for sure. But I would say, by and large, I think I remember like one time or two times getting a tweet about that.
Yeah.
I do think it's being used a lot, and maybe by the wrong people, but we are actually doing it. So
what can we look forward to on Throwing Shade? There's a word of a live tour.
Yeah, our tour will be on the site, ready to go. We're doing a huge 17 city tour this year. And we're doing 17 cities, East Coast, West Coast, down the middle, Texas, Canada.
And this is our third year going on tour, and we're really excited. We have we're getting separate hotel rooms this year, so we're very excited about
being
that.
Real adult about it.
But with adjoining doors, right?
Oh, cool.
Definitely.
Yeah. Full whatever movie that would be from. Vacation?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And our deal is that hotel rooms have to be next door, and we have to enter the door at the same time and leave the door at the same
yes.
time so that they slam at the same time.
And it's hard to do because they're hotel doors, so one opens one way and one opens the other.
It's very difficult.
It's
and
like
then
an
also, we have to put a glass up to the wall so that we can talk to each other through the wall.
I'm picturing like total sleepover bathrobes. Hopefully it's a hotel.
Oh, yeah.
Bathrobes.
We just get to it.
Face mask, coconut
yeah.
oil.
Now, do you all have any pre-live show rituals aside from opening the door at the same time?
We each have a vodka.
I don't think I'm going to have one this year.
I know. We might not do that this year.
We kind of
We certainly don't get drunk, but we'll have one drink before the show.
No, I got drunk last year in Chicago.
After the show.
Remember when someone said, Aaron spilled a martini on my shoe? And because I was so drunk, I spilled.
Was that after the show?
Yeah.
That was after the show. Aaron thought that martinis were more than just alcohol, legitimately. She thought it was like a mixed drink.
It's happened to the best of us.
She had like six martinis. I've never seen her like this in my life.
By the way, and the next day, I was like, oh, it's Chicago. I used to live here. I'll stay. I'll check out of the hotel. Then I'll go around town, see all my old haunts. Then I'll go to the airport at 6 p.m. Well, I threw up all day.
Oh.
Walking around Chicago, throwing up in different parts that I used to, just different buildings I used to be.
How's this for a sales pitch? Throwing Shade is a lot of sober fun. Come see it. We're performing exclusively in church basements.
If you can play organ, email us.
Yeah.
No, it's a fun show. Do
we have pre-show rituals? We don't really.
We work out sometimes, or we'll go. We sometimes sit in silence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's fun. We're fun.
Hey, here's the thing. We save it all for the stage.
That's right.
There you go.
We do. Wait, I was going to say something about the show. Oh, a lot of people, a lot of podcasts when they do live shows, it's seated. It's this thing where they sit down at a table and have like the mic seated, and it's very like almost like a book panel or like a talk.
Ours is like a full production show.
It's
like
a two-person stand-up show.
We're up, we're out of the audience, we're including everybody. It's not like we're sitting down recording a show.
Not that there's anything wrong with that, but ours is like full frantic. You get all of our ADD, you get all of our anxiety, you get all of our neediness.
If you've ever seen Singing in the Rain, it's exactly like that.
You're just running up walls.
Exactly.
Full umbrellas.
Yes.
Can't wait. Are you all coming through Atlanta by any chance?
Yes.
We are.
Oh my God. Well, we're in Atlanta. So
we're coming like August 15th, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. And where can people go to find out more about you, listen to the podcast and all that good stuff?
Our Twitter's and Instagram. I'm on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at Brian Soppy, which is just my name.
And I'm at Gibblertron, GIBBLERTRON. And then all of our information is on throwingshade.com.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Amazing.
Thanks, ladies. Big fan of your podcast. Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much. So thanks so much again to Aaron and Brian of Throwing Shade. We loved talking with these guys, and we really hope that you enjoyed this episode as well. So now let's hear from our listeners. Do you guys also listen to Throwing Shade? Did anything that we talked about strike a nerve, or did you even listen?
Are you still there? Hello? And again, Brian and Aaron,
are on tour. Their live shows are hilarious. They are part stand-up, part podcast, and you definitely don't want to miss them because these two are comedy geniuses. So head on over to throwingshade.com to not only learn more about Aaron and Brian and the podcast, but also find out if they're coming to a city near you. And like Caroline said, we want to hear from you as always. MomStuff@HowStuffWorks.com is our email address. You can also tweet us at MomStuffPodcast or message us on Facebook. And we've got a couple of messages to share with you right now.
This episode is brought to you by Snagajob. Snagajob is where America goes to hire with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring.
With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time, or full-time.
You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer? Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that.
With their easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way.
Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly.
Visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242-424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire. This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association member, FDIC. Tennessee just sounds perfect, whether that's live music, the crack of a campfire, or kids laughing on an adventure.
To start planning your trip, visit tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
Kristen and I have received a bunch of letters after our female urination device or stand to pee device episode. Basically, you know, our episode on pee funnels. And we've heard from a lot of you guys who use these devices on your many adventures. And so we want to read a couple letters from folks who have done all sorts of amazing things while packing a pee funnel with them. Okay, so this one is from Julie. She says, "So glad to hear you discuss the FUD. I've told so many women about it to a response of polite silence. But really, it is so empowering in the best way. I hike, kayak, gorilla farm, commute in Atlanta, and long-distance travel on the train. I keep a FUD in my purse, car, and hydration backpack, each one tucked in a soft-sided zippered pencil case. It fits great in cargo pants or dress pants pockets. That and a silk undercover bra stash for some cash and a credit card. So good to go, pun intended. The side benefit is giving the man in your life a start and the ladies in the stalls next to you a moment of pause. I like my pee style, but let me know when the Hello Ladies version comes out. Too much fun." And of course, Julie is referring to our mention of how we'd love to have a Sminty branded Hey Ladies pee funnel.
We can still do it.
We can still do it. Like, we've gotten so many emails about this. I'm not even kidding. People are super excited about this.
I think at least 4 people would buy them. So.
And maybe half of those would buy gifts as well.
So yes.
We'd get up to maybe 8.
Yeah. If there are any venture capitalists listening, we've got $20 to put in your pocket.
That's right.
So I've got a letter here from Kirsty also about our FUD episode. She writes, "I just finished your FUD podcast. Hilarious and informative as always. I work for a UN agency and spend a lot of time in the field interviewing and filming the stories of forcibly displaced people. And a FUD is standard in my equipment now, though not always. About a year ago, I was at a camp in the Democratic Republic of Congo. In many of the refugee camps, there aren't really any sanitary facilities. Safe facilities for women who've been forced to flee is about so much more than hygiene, also key to protecting against risks of SGBV. But we've never had enough funds, and family and staff live with less than desirable facilities. Like you said, I'd become an expert at drinking just the right amount of water to cope in the heat and physically do my job without passing out or needing to pee, and it's not healthy. This particular trip, I spent 3 days with one family, and on one day we walked about 40 minutes outside of the camp to a small stream and waterhole where the husband would do the family washing. I remember walking out of this thicket of tall trees, and my bladder was assailed by the sound of tinkling water. I had to pee. I held on while we finished filming that particular segment, then ran about 10 minutes up the track to the maize fields, and I found a secluded spot. No FUD, so I had to do the squat, and as I'm a nervous peer, it took a while to get going. Paranoid about poisonous snakes, but more worried someone would walk down the track as I struggled to pee. I moved back to the herby thickets behind me. Eventually, I finished, did the shake, no toilet paper either, pulled up my trousers, and headed off back to work. Hand sanitizer is an aid worker's best friend. When I finally sat down in our vehicle to leave the camp that night, I felt like I'd been whipped across the backs of my upper thighs and bum. A 2.5 hour painful car journey bouncing down non-existent roads, and I got back to our accommodation and realized I must have brushed against some toxic or poisonous plant while peeing. By that night, sitting was excruciating. As it happened in the Congo, and with a slightly overactive imagination, I did think maybe this was the beginning of the end. What if I died from poisonous stings to my bottom? What would they tell my loved ones or say at my funeral? No heroics in that. All from not being able to pee standing up. The only colleague with me was my male photographer, who was fortunately a trained medic. I was in so much discomfort in the end that I showed him, and he provided antihistamines, which helped reduce the welts. I was fine in a couple of weeks, but my pride was tender a little longer. Since then, I've taken a FUD on each trip and have tried a couple of brands. Freshette is the best for my kind of work and comfort. As with everything, practice makes perfect, but the trick is that you have to think carefully about the underwear you choose when you might have to use one. I find a G-string or a very stretchy bikini pants are okay, otherwise, you still have to pull your trousers and underwear down. As always, being a woman, there are so many things to coordinate for daily workwear. So thanks, Kirstie, for sharing that story. And I mean, that really drives home the importance of these things existing. They have so many practical applications. So keep sending your stories because, yeah, we want to hear about how you pee too. Sure. MomStuff@HowStuffWorks.com is our email address. And for links to all of our social media, as well as all of our videos, blogs, and podcasts, including this one with links to learn more about Erin, Brian, and Throwing Shade, head on over to StuffMomNeverToldYou.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association, member FDIC.
The state of Tennessee is one of the few places where the sounds are just as breathtaking as the sights.
Whether that's live music at a historic music venue, the crack of an open fire at a campsite in the wilderness, or hearing kids laughing as they explore what's right around the bend, Tennessee just sounds perfect.
Start planning your trip at tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect. This episode is brought to you by Pedigree.
If you've been looking for love at first sight, it is closer than you think. It can be found at your local shelter. So this June 7th to 9th, join the Pedigree Adoption Drive, and the Pedigree brand will reimburse your dog adoption fees nationwide.
Pedigree knows that bringing a dog into your home not only opens their heart, it can open yours too. Visit pedigree.com/adoption-drive to learn more about the adoption drive and to see full terms and conditions.